Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is a Friday, October 6th, 2017. I got to tell you, it's been a long week, hasn't it? Hasn't it been a long week, or is
it just
me? It's
been like 2 weeks in one.
Man, I thought so. Are we, is that on, is that my, Eric, is that my imagination, or are we, okay, don't worry about that. Thank you. I'm looking at a monitor that it's like a funhouse mirror at the carnival.
It's a widescreen, that's why.
Well, welcome to the Hagmann Report, folks. Live on Global Star Radio Network, YouTube Live, as well as Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you for your belief and your trust in us as we deal with all of the headlines. I want to invite you to listen to our ancillary programs, the programs that we do in addition to the flagship program here. Of course, I do one from 9 to 10 in the morning. Actually, I did two today, 9 to 10, and then at 11 o'clock I did one specific to gun control, and then Joe and John did one from 2 to 3, and we do those every weekday in addition to the flagship show. Did you want to say, oh, okay. Okay. All right. And then I want to thank John Robertson for sitting in my absence for 2 days. As I was, shall I say, burning the shoe leather to obtain some information with respect to Las Vegas, what happened there. And I think it was time well spent. Information, it's none of the information that we're getting is correct. I will say this, based on the information that I've been able to uncover, this was a long planned out methodical attack against a specific target by a coordinated group of individuals. That much I know. Period. That much I know. That much I know. There are reports of video statements and documents that explain the motivation, the motives behind this attack. That much I'll say I know. Perhaps know is too much of a definitive. I strongly suspect, and those are in the hands of the FBI. So will we ever see those? I don't know. The reported, as I mentioned earlier today in my program, the essentially what that's all about is the manifestation, the alliance of the Muslims and the left progressives, leftist progressives, or the leftist communists, whatever you want to call them, in this country. That's who's carrying out these attacks. There will be more. This shooter, alleged shooter, it was not his intent to die where he died, allegedly died where he died.
And the sheriff made that much clearer through his press conference, stating that he had an escape plan and he was unable to execute his escape plan. The sheriff was further questioned on it when asked on the details of that, and he said that he could not go into those details.
All right. Believe it or not, it's I've been limited in my media observations of the media, the corporate media, because of the involvement I've had over the last 48 hours in chasing down the details of this particular situation. And I classified this in my show as a hinge moment in time. This will change everything. And I think that people have to understand that what happened this past Sunday night, early Monday morning, East Coast time, was designed to change everything. I have no doubt in my mind that there were many, not many, but I have no doubt in my mind that the individual named as a shooter had a web of support and I mean a web, I'm talking about a cell of support. And I have no doubt in my mind there are multiple cells that exist in this country.
And you know, I don't want to interrupt you, but
no,
I just want to say this, that that is one of the excuses I've been read, whether it's true or not, as to why they're saying law enforcement is afraid to give out certain information or won't give out certain information as to not trigger other cells. And I saw a question asked that was, well, if it wasn't a left-wing terrorist and it wasn't an ISIS terrorist, what if it was something worse?
And what could be worse than that? A Martian attack?
Well, that's the question I had, but somebody or a group of people doing this for none other than the motivation to raise terror and havoc, if it is a cell, it would be basically terrorism, right? But if it was an unknown type of perpetrator or perpetrators or a group of perpetrators, whether it could be, you know, we talk about the deep state, the intelligence agencies, contractors, to a group that's unaffiliated. I mean, that would be worse if it was a team of people that were affiliated and worked for.
Oh, okay, I understand what you're saying, and that's very possible given the background of the again the alleged shooter, and I say alleged shooter because again it's at this point in time I still believe it's too early to make any definitive statements. You've got a reportedly you've got a dead well. You've got a dead person in that hotel room. And by the way, and I said this in my morning show, I'm going to say this, and I might have said this in this show, but I do not believe anyone who denies that there was death and carnage at that location, that everyone was a crisis actor, there was no death. Let me tell you, I've talked to people who have had their hands in the guts of the wounded. So don't tell me. Do not tell me that there was no death or carnage that took place. Do not tell me that this is some sort of circle or circus it's a fanciful circus of the crisis actors. No. I spoke to the individuals, who stopped the bleeding of some of the victims. I spoke to people who were there present on site. There were people that were shot. Now, You want to discuss whatever beyond that, that's fine. But do not tell me that no one was hurt and it was all just a big, a big show. That's not true. People died there. Real people with real lives, real souls died at that location.
Absolutely. And to suggest otherwise,
And that to me is repulsive to suggest otherwise.
Because this is different from other attacks we've seen, I believe. It's the same in theory, you know, you have a mass shooter, confusing facts, not a clear motive, confusion, several dead, and we've seen a number of different drills go live and whatnot, but this seems to be different in a way, and I don't know what it is that makes it different. I'm not talking about different in, just because of the numbers, but the methodical nature. It seems like terror attacks, as well as some of them are planned out. I don't want to compare this to 9/11, but, you know, you're talking a few steps below the planning and methodical nature.
Well, I believe this will have the same effect. And by the way, just give me a thumbs up when we have. Okay. All right. I think this is going to have the same, or this will have the same ultimate effect of 9/11. And you have to ask who benefits. At the end of the day, who benefits? Of course, you've got the, you've got the discussion now of the, scanners going into the entrances to the hotels and the concert venues and such. We said this was going to happen. We've talked about this before. The benefactors are the security apparatus, the members of the non-governmental operative security companies, security apparatus companies that make the products and install the products and monitor and maintain the products. And so those are the benefactors. The benefactors are, of course, included in the shadow government, the deep state, the neocon element. The ultimate objective here, one of the objectives, is for a complete gun control, taking away the guns of the American people, to leave us defenseless. By the way, there are questions, and I'm not going to get into it tonight, obviously, but there are questions about what happened at the scene. And of course, Joe, I know you're working on a couple of issues with, along with John, with respect to the tempered glass, the type of glass that was installed in the
Out. Right now, we're looking through
Mandalay.
Clark County and Nevada building codes, and we've established that the Mandalay Bay was built in 1998, and we're looking through the building codes because what we understand. Some windows, especially what we were talking about with the tempered glass and if they're hurricane resistant, as many are, up to building code standards. And I know it's in the desert. People think, well, what do you need hurricane glass for? It's also to prevent people, not only things from coming in, but people and things from going out. And we saw a small sledgehammer in the photos that it looks like could have been used to break out the window, or that's at least the excuse that's been given. I mean, he had days in there. He could have cut the glass and used the hammer at the very end. Who knows? But we're trying to establish at least what kind of glass, because nobody in the media is even asking these questions, these simple questions. And I think that we have to go back to what we know. I think we have to go back to the police scanner recordings for that night.
And I've gone through every single. I recorded, actually. I began recording it, I think, 35 after, or 30 or 15 minutes into the actual event. I began recording. Locally, the EMS feed from Vegas, and that was Sunday morning about, I think it was like 1:35. I began recording that, but nonetheless, there are a lot of unanswered questions. And for us to, and here's what we have to do. We have to maintain our critical thinking skills. Just because someone says it happened this way, it does not mean it had to happen this way. We must maintain our critical thinking skills. We must not lose them. You know, if somebody says the sky is purple, and then you say, okay, the sky's purple. Well, it could be.
You know, one of the interesting things about what I'm seeing with this, as far as the alternative media and conspiracy theories, is that people are jumping on these alternate theories without any kind of evidence or proof, no starting point. As far as facts and whatnot. And one of the, if you're going to look at something as a conspiracy, one of the things you have to do is go through and debunk, at least try to debunk the claims that are made out there, whoever they're made by.
Well, yeah.
Getting evidence of that fact to narrow down what you do know versus what is being speculated. And I think nobody's doing many people are doing the, analyzing and debunking of certain things.
Well, this is something that
evidence that's shown.
It shouldn't surprise me, and it doesn't surprise me, but it really gets me thinking. There was an article that appeared in Town Hall on townhall.com. I don't have the article in front of me, but it appeared there, and it was republished on a political right-leaning website for Republic. Now, here is what really gets my goat, okay? When you raise an issue, for example, about the glass, how did the glass break? Or you raise an issue about the rounds. You raise an issue about, or you raise any issue, you ask a question. In this country, there is a problem where we cannot have an intellectual discussion where legitimate questions are raised, asked and answered through methodical research and investigation, and responsible questions are asked and answered. Instead, what we see here is an environment of put-downs. Well, how dare you what are you telling me, that he didn't break this with a hammer? No, that's not what we're saying.
That's the excuse we're given. That's the information we've seen from the little hammer. Let's understand what kind of glass we're dealing with.
Exactly.
Put it to a test.
Is it possible?
Right.
And if it's not possible, then what's the other alternative? Because it appeared that the pictures, the photographs that were leaked, the one thing I did see was the sheriff saying, "Well, I can't authenticate the authenticity of the pictures. I don't know about, but whoever leaked them is really in trouble." I thought that was pretty funny. Kind of tells you pretty much what you need to know in that case. But then again, I'm not sure which pictures or photographs he was talking about. I've seen numerous photographs, and I've seen different photographs. So, and you have to be careful, very, very careful who you listen to as well. But to stifle intellectual discussion or discourse and to mock those asking the legitimate questions is, to me, shameful. And shame on the pseudo-intellectuals who say, well, it's not right to ask the questions. No, you damn well better, you know, if it was my family member that was killed or wounded in this attack, I want to know the truth, the whole truth, all of it, and I want to know. And don't hold anything back from me. And don't blow smoke up my butt telling me one thing when it's something totally different. All right? And if, and this goes another, this goes without, I mean, this goes in addition to that. If there is a threat well beyond ISIS or well beyond the leftist, progressive, communist, Marxist, Maoist, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, crazy, if I was going to say the word, pink-wearing hat, emasculated men and bull dyke women out there, if there's a threat beyond that, let me know. We know they're a threat. We know the anarchists, the Marxists, we know that they're a threat. They've infiltrated our country. They've infiltrated everything all of the institutions. Just give me a thumbs up, somebody, when we've got, oh, okay. See, I'm just rambling. Not rambling, I'm filling time for, until Ted comes on. Before we bring Ted Brewer on, I want to thank a couple of people. Ethel D. from Allentown, PA, wrote to us on September 20th. Thank you so much. Also provided a financial contribution. And she said this. She listens daily. And I want to thank you, Ethel, for listening daily, if I may call you that. Obviously, I'm going to keep your last name private. In fact, she had gone to Jim Baker's last summer for the taping that Steve did with Pastor Langford, she writes. And at that time, she told Pastor Langford that the Northeast Corridor up here in this area is always passed over for various events from the Network of Christian Pastors, and she's right. So I'm going to be talking with Pastor Langford about this as well to see if we can get something up here in the Northeast Corridor. Thank you for writing. Some other people I just want to say thank you to, and there's so many. My goodness. David T. from Kalispell, Montana. Thank you so much if you're listening. You've very kind words. I'm just going to stop there. And, of course, David S. from, Oklahoma, Bixby, Oklahoma. Thank you so much for writing in and for your kind words. And, I mean, this is quite the documentation, quite the letter. And we read all of these. I mean, we're talking about taking the time out to write a letter. A 3-page handwritten letter, and thank you so much for that. And we thank everyone who has helped us stay on the air, and we welcome now to our program Dr. Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com, and he supports our program. He provides us with the necessary nutrients and vitamins and minerals and nutritional supplements to get us through the day. And he and his son have a terrific program on Global Star Radio Network on a daily basis, Monday through Friday. His wife Sharon is contributes as well to the program. So let's bring on Dr. Ted whenever we're ready. Go ahead.
Hey, Ted.
Hey.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Good. I don't have my ears in, so I don't have an earpiece in, so I can't really hear you. So.
Well, go get your headphones.
I will. On the Skype feed.
Yeah, you look and sound good.
Good. Yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about tonight. This has been one of those weeks, Doug. I mean, you know, you end up with huge numbers on the show, but you find out real quick that, you know, you don't want to talk about all the stuff because it all gets so weird. It all gets so negative. It's all so convoluted. And you said something in the introduction that I just want to say one more time. We don't know what's going on with this deal and this thing with Vegas. I mean, we can talk about it, but we're not going to find out until all the information is released, if it ever is, unless we get another Warren report or another 9/11 report. We're not going to know what in the world happened, even if they give us all that bogus information. Because here's what we do know. A bunch of people got shot. A bunch of people got hurt. A bunch of rounds were fired. It sounded to me like an M60 machine gun with .308 caliber weapon being fired. That's what it sounded like to me. It didn't sound like a bump fire stock. The biggest problem with bump fire stocks, and I've shot them before and so has Austin, you have to hold them, you know, pretty much at a 180-degree angle for them to work properly. And when you put a 100-round magazine on the bottom of it and you aim it at a 30-degree angle, it doesn't want to pull up like a niece who doesn't want to cycle properly. So it's not a very effective weapon. If they really wanted to kill a lot of people, a lot more people, they could have used a 50-caliber machine gun with a 200 or 300-round link or a 1,000-round link, put a bunch of links together, and just light up the doggone fairgrounds with that. But they didn't do that. They picked the weapons that they want to ban, that they want to regulate, that they want to get rid of, and those are the ones that we found in the shooter's room, the supposed shooter's room. We don't know if he did the shooting. We have no idea if he did the shooting. We believe he did the shooting, and that's what they told us that he's done, but we also know that he was shot, could have been shot before, could have shot himself. We don't know what happened. We have multiple windows which looks like flash coming out of them. We don't even know if a drone was used. That could, you know, a military-armed drone could have been used to inflict a lot of this damage. All I know is the pictures that I saw of the room, there were a few dozen spelt shell casings, and he was supposed to fire close to between 3,000 to 4,000 rounds in order to inflict that type of damage. Quite frankly, I believe there were multiple shooters in multiple locations. And I also believe that he probably was a patsy. I believe that he was working with the ATF. I believe he was probably involved with something with one of his aircraft. If you watch the movie with Tom Cruise and Barry Seals that just came out last weekend, it goes into detail with the CIA hiring Barry Seals to run drugs and to run weapons. I mean, he had two planes, one of which was basically changed and grounded 3 years ago. And if you'll notice, I'm getting this from All News Pipeline. It says, looking closely, the first thing you'll notice is that the shooter, Stephen Paddock, had a pilot's license and he owned two planes. This is well established, the tail number of the planes, and they give that out. He goes, however, Volant Associates, it was basically took the plane over 3 years ago, and Volant Associates is none other than a Department of Defense contractor, meaning Paddock's plane has been in the hands of the United States government for the past 3 years and grounded since. So, I mean, we've got this whole thing with Fast and the Furious that happened. We've got all of the things that we've been told about that could be and not be a lie. We know the guns were trafficked back into the United States under the Obama administration, which I personally believe Obama had very little to do with, just like I don't believe Trump had anything to do with any of this. We have a situation in which the deep state is pretty much doing whatever they want to do to us, making us believe whatever they want to believe. So there are all kinds of possible scenarios on this. The only thing I know is that when I've watched Austin one time. We had the opportunity to run a 100-round drum through a fully automatic AR-15 and actually dump 100 rounds of AR-15. And by the time you got to the final rounds, Doug and Joe, the rounds coming out were glowing and the doggone barrel was glowing like a hot muffler pipe. I mean, it was glowing red of the gun. This is after 100 rounds.
Ted, I want to say this. Just real quick, I watched a number of the and rewatched a number of the Las Vegas Sheriff's Department press conference today, and he was asked about the amount of weapons that were brought up there and how many were used, and he said he wouldn't give a number, but he said a number of them were jammed. So that tells us that I believe that tells us that some of those guns were used that were up there and that some of them did malfunction, and he did not specify 1, 2, 5. He just said that some were jammed.
But again, Joe, you know, why did we have a stand down order given to the Las Vegas Police Department? That's one of the most highly effective police departments in the country. These guys are like SWAT trained because of the tens of millions of dollars in cash that are routinely passed between casinos. Their response time is usually less than 5 minutes to get to a room, to get to an area in case there's a robbery, et cetera, in one of the casinos. Why were they ordered to stand down for almost a full hour, you know, before breaching the room? Was it to give time for the other teams that were working there as far as shooting people? Was it to give them time to basically turn around and get their guys out so they could be, you know, not captured? I mean, you know, if we have jammed weapons in the room, how do we know those weapons weren't jammed and then brought to the room jammed? How do we know they jammed in that room? The spent shell casings, they were probably very, very hot. And if you've ever been at a gun range and had a shell casing go down your shirt, it'll get your tension real, real fast. Why didn't these shell casings burn any of the nylon carpets that were in the room? We didn't see any nylon burns whatsoever. There's too many factors here again. This reminds me of Sandy Hook. This reminds me of the shooting last year in Paris when the guy walked up to the guy and shot him with an AK-47 in the head and there was no blood splatter, didn't chip the concrete. I mean, all of this stuff is so weird when you start watching it over and over and over again. You're seeing flashes from different rooms. You saw no flashes. I saw no flashes whatsoever coming out of the guy's room where he was supposedly. As far as the windows being broken out, they sell a small hammer with a very small point at the end, and it's used in automobiles to break out glass in case you get trapped in a car and you're going underwater, etc. He could have had one of those that could have broken the window out. simply because the square inch pressure is very, very strong, like a pinhole, and it would crack the glass. That could have been used. They may have broken out both windows for proper ventilation to vent the smoke out of the room instead of having one window broken out. There are all kinds of factors here that we'll probably never know the answer to. Just like I've never said that the shooting here in Orlando at the gay nightclub last year. Austin and I were told by the local media, and you guys heard it too on the national news, that the entire outside of the building was riddled with bullet holes because the shooter came outside and exchanged gunfire with the police officers outside. Austin and I went to this gay club after it was walled off with a chain link fence, and we looked at it. There wasn't one bullet hole on the outside of the club, not one. And yet we've never been able to get any type of information from the Pulse nightclub as far as the final report that was done. I've never seen anything. And we spoke to three different people at that club that day. There were three off-duty officers. Well, actually, they were being hired there to sit there at the club. And while the forensic team was still inside, two of them refused to answer anything. They were together. No comment, no comment, no comment, no comment. One of the guys was in a sheriff's truck, and he was out there with a pickup truck, and the motor was running. And so we walked up to him. We said, you know, we're going to ask you some questions. And we started talking to him about the Pulse shooting. And finally, he was by himself, so he couldn't be, you know, said he couldn't have any witnesses on what he said. And he says, let me tell you something, guys. Everything you've been told about this shooting is not true. Everything. Nothing is true as it seems. The media has completely and totally twisted everything that happened here. And he goes, and hopefully someday you guys will find out what happened, but we're not allowed to talk about it. So, I mean, all of this stuff happens all of the time, guys. I mean, we think about this. We have armed military drones flying over the skies of the United States right now. How do we know a drone wasn't using this? We have no idea. How do we know that there weren't multiple shooters in multiple locations? How do we know this guy fired a single shot? How do we know that any of the weapons in this room were used? We saw no flash coming from his room. If he had been using a flash suppressor, you still would have seen it when you're looking directly into a barrel. No videotape that I've seen, Doug and Joe, shows any flashing coming out of that room. People say, well, he was standing back further, so you couldn't see the gun. If he was standing back further, the angle would have been different. The window would have been here. He'd been shooting under the window. He couldn't reach his trajectory. You only have about a 1 to 2 degree at that range, and I've fired long distances before. I've been privileged to be able to shoot a 50 caliber bear, and we were plinking between 600 to 1,000 yard ranges with it, and it was insignificant for that gun. But the thing about it is, you know, you have a bipod at the back of the, you have a single monopod at the back of the bear, and you adjust your height, adjust your windage, and you zoom in on the target, and you turn this monopod tiny little bounce in order to adjust the trajectory, because just a tiny bit too high, a tiny bit too low. This is the 600-700 yards. You don't hit the target. Don't even hit it. So here we have a guy firing at this field, having a trajectory of 1 or 2 degrees. That's all he can do. We're led to believe that a 64-year-old guy who's out of shape can pick up a fully loaded AR-15 with a 100-round magazine and with a bump fire stock, aim it at an angle, dump the entire 100-round magazine. And this thing's heavy, by the way, with 100 rounds on it, and do this over and over and over until he disposes of 3,000 or 4,000 rounds of ammunition in his room, causing no carpet burns whatsoever. Not exhausting him whatsoever, and then we're told to believe that they were told to stand down for an hour while he was basically being apprehended. I don't know what that was all about. So there are too many unanswered questions here, which makes this thing completely reek of a false flag, and I think it's absolutely awful, and I believe this is right up there with the Fast and the Furious.
I gotta tell you, Ted, for 2 days, I missed the program the last 2 days, and the only reason I'm here is because you're here, okay?
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah. But I got to tell you something. 2 days, I've been chasing down one fact. And I'm not going to tell you, I mean, among other things, but one primary fact. And I don't want to reveal what that is. By the way, if I can just, if you don't mind, anyone, and I did this during my morning show, any Las Vegas police officer, commissioned police officer, who wants to give me information, I need to verify, I will do so. I will keep that information confidential. I'll keep your identity confidential, but just send an email to studio at Hagman and Hagman PI, or studio at Hagman and Hagman.com, and in the subject line put LEOLV. That's for LEOLV, and I will get in contact with you if you want to share some information with us about this event. But I'm going to need to verify your bona fides, but I will not give away your identity. But I'll keep it safe. So I just want to mention that. But Ted, yeah, I got to tell you, man, nothing. And you know what? How about the security guard? What do you think about that?
I mean, the security guards get shot. I mean, first of all, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Number one, most of these hotels have sheetrock walls. I mean, it's the fire rock. So I mean, it's like, you know, 5/8. So it's a little bit heavier. The doors are usually solid core because people don't want to kick them in with steel frames. I mean, this thing, you could have easily breached the door. You could have easily done this. They said the security guard was shot, so they were all standing in the hall with the concern they're going to get shot. I mean, these guys are trained professionals. These guys are, this is what they do their entire life to train for a shooter like this to come in and do this. Plus, if he's shot for 10 minutes and no other shots were fired except for the security guard, supposedly, then why in the world weren't these guys breaching this facility? Why do they not think he'd already committed suicide? Or was he already dead before they got up to the room and whoever was in charge of this told him to stand down? Or was there conflicting information coming from the other alphabet agencies that were there trying to take control of the police department in Vegas? I mean, this whole thing, it reminds me so much of the Kennedy assassination, Doug, when we have people shooting from a library, people shooting from a grassy knoll, people shooting out of a storm drain, multiple shooters involved. I mean, when you put an operation together that's this big, how do we know that this guy wasn't working for the ATF and he wasn't running guns like that new movie with Tom Cruise with Barry Seals that came out last week? And the Barry Seals is being hired by the CIA, being paid hundreds of millions of dollars to run drugs and guns down into Central America and South America. And suddenly the CIA decides that they're not going to use him anymore. So the judge sets him up for 100 days of community service at a local area, knowing he's going to full on be shot and killed by the mob or by the drug dealers down from Colombia. So this is the kind of stuff that we end up seeing over and over again. You got a lone gun assassin who's taking, you know, Valium or some type of other antipsychotic drug or antidepressant or tricyclic antidepressant, you know, or tricyclic or serotonin reuptake inhibitor. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And all of a sudden, you got a lone nut with a bunch of guns who suddenly shoots up a bunch of people and kills himself. Well, if the guy was this macho, all right, if he had this ability to do this and lug, you know, all of these weapons and all of this ammo up to the room, you know, either with a luggage cart or on luggage with rollers, whatever he did or whoever did it. Why don't we have videotape of the hallways of him doing this over and over again? Vegas has more video cameras.
There is video. I was able to confirm one thing. There's video, and there's video. There's video a month and a half long that's on file. The FBI has control of the video, all of the electronic devices, as well as all of the written word that of the alleged shooter.
Don't you remember when we had the airplane hit the Pentagon and the FBI came in and took all the video surveillance tape from all the towns, all the areas and all the buildings in the entire area of the Pentagon? And it was only through the Freedom of Information Act we were able to pull a few frames of that attack into the Pentagon, which never even showed an airplane. And we had to get that like court order. I mean, this is absolutely nuts that this is going on. Now, the FBI has control of all the videotape. Does that mean we're never going to see the videotape again?
That's
the point I'm trying to make.
You're exactly right, and it's my understanding that Andrew McCabe, is calling the shots on this one.
I read he interviewed the girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, who came back and was defended by an attorney who also represented, Timothy McVeigh, it was Terry Nichols. He worked on his criminal defense.
Okay, see.
And yeah. She was wheeled in a wheelchair, for some reason. Yeah. She was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
But she was directly questioned by McCabe per the mainstream news.
Yeah. And folks.
And ask yourself another question. I mean, here's this guy. He's supposed to be this Vegas high roller, makes millions of dollars supposedly, you know, in gambling, which good luck with all that. Multiple airplanes, multiple homes. And he has this older woman who's his girlfriend, which doesn't make any sense to me because most of the Vegas high rollers don't really bother with the older girls because there's enough young girls out in Vegas who want guys with money that they kind of chase them anyhow. So none of this makes any sense to me. This entire scenario just absolutely reeks to me as if we're all a bunch of blithering idiots and we're supposed to believe everything they tell us now. The problem is the internet, the new Gutenberg press, has changed everybody. I mean, we know that the Mossad, the CIA, rogue elements of our government, they were, you know, the Saudis, that they were all involved in 9/11. We know that. And they act like we don't know that. Well, there's tens of millions, if not 50 or 60 or 70 million people, 100 million people, 200 million people, that question the mainstream narrative of what happened with 9/11. The problem is, like you say, though, Doug, when somebody comes in, like the FBI or another alphabet agency, and they seize all of the audio tapes, all of the videotapes, all of the information, then at that point in time, the only narrative that you have to go on is what they end up telling you in the final report, and they never allow you to analyze it yourself. That's the problem you have with all of this mess. And so, to me, the entire thing is so weird, especially with that one-hour stand-down outside that hotel room. It doesn't make any sense. So, to me, if something doesn't make any sense, it's probably going to reek. I mean, this guy gets up in a sniper's nest, holds heavy weapons, discharges over 3,000 rounds, and you can't find any burnt shell casings into the carpet whatsoever in the room of the photos that you've seen. This guy is supposedly strong enough to be able to pick all these weapons up at the age of, in his 60s, to do all of this, which is a pretty hefty thing to do. Turns around and shoots himself in the face because he doesn't have enough guts to sit there and wait for the room to be breached. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Why would he do this? This, again, is that lone assassin nut that you have to watch they do as far as with the MK Ultra, with the mind control. Did they wind this guy up? Did they tell him that he was going to be a patsy? Is that why he was screaming at night, his girlfriend said, when he was sleeping? Did he know that he had already gone too far and that they were going to have to take him out? Look at SEAL Team 6. Look at the boys and girls in Benghazi. The ones, if you watch that movie, 13 Hours. The first thing they ask is this. How in the world, at the end of the movie, did they get the coordinates for the mortar positions for our compound? Where did they get the coordinates from? You only get that from the air. How in the world did they get the coordinates? And see, they were given to somebody. And all of those guys in Benghazi at that CIA headquarters, they were all supposed to die that night. They didn't know they had a bunch of SEAL Team boys out there that didn't want to die, and they were going to fight until the last man standing. And, you know, then we had a huge stand down order with that. You know that whole story. And so I'm not going to be redundant with your listeners because you guys all know this story. But the reality is this. Why in the world do they always not want witnesses? Why do they not want people talking? Why is it all of a sudden some guy blows a hole right in the middle of his face? I mean, I've seen the photos, and that's supposed to be how he killed himself. Really? Nah. If this guy was gutsy enough to shoot himself in the face, he could sure sit there and take a doggone 20 or 30 rounds when they breach the room, firing back at him. I don't buy any of it, Doug and Joe. And if, like I said, if he really wanted to do maximum damage, we would have brought a 50 caliber machine gun out, and he would have linked together 1,000 rounds of ammo, and he had lit up that parking lot and not to worry about, you know, drop of the bullet, you know, et cetera. And he also could have lit up the aviation tanks behind him if he had these incendiary rounds. He didn't do that either. The only thing they used were weapons that we can normally buy at gun shows that they don't want us to have. They don't want us to have 100-round magazines. They don't want us to be able to do those types of things. They don't want us apparently to have bump fire stocks, which they're the most inaccurate thing you can use. They don't want us to have any of that stuff because they're trying to restrict our access. You've always got to draw the circle back around. You've got to ask, this is a Galilean dialect.
Yep.
Problem, action, solution. The problem is they want to take over the United States. They want to destroy the Constitution. So they have a problem. The problem is we're armed. We have hundreds of millions of weapons and we know how to use them. There are a lot of us who do. So what they have to do, they have to create a problem. The problem's going to be, you know, an action's going to be a mass shooting, and the solution's going to be restrict all of these weapons. Didn't you find it funny they had 8 weapons to start with, and they had 15 weapons, and they had 18 weapons, now up to 37 weapons? Can somebody just not count? Are they that nuts they can't go 1, 2? You know, they have to use their fingers and their toes more than once or twice to get confused? This doesn't make any sense to me. None of it does, Doug.
Yeah, but
Galilean dialectic.
Ted, I'll give a little bit of look. I've been to enough sufficient crime scenes to know that the initial reports you can dismiss like the first 10 initial reports as being just totally. I mean, forget about it. Just forget about it, because you always got some numbskull in there that's flapping his or her gums before they even know what the hell they're talking about. I get that, but something this important and this significant, yeah, I agree with you on this. And
well, no, I mean the gun count kept going up every day.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. I mean, what are they just doing? Just opening suitcases with more guns? I mean, what's up with this mess?
Yeah,
number one, we don't know for an instant if this guy fired a single shot. We don't know if this hotel room was used. We don't know any of this stuff. We can't trace it back because the guy's dead. And then he had cameras set up inside. Yeah. And then we find out there's a monitor on the inside with a reverse camera that's being broadcast to who knows where.
Yep.
So they people monitor what's going on in the room, but no video recording was made. He didn't record himself shooting anything. Nobody did. So we don't know if the guy did the shooting. We don't know if this room was used for the shooting. We don't know if those guns were used for the shooting. We don't know anything because the guy shot himself supposedly in the face. So that's why you got to question the entire narrative, Doug, when you see stuff like this. Now, what I do know, and my deepest condolences go out to the families of the people that were shot,
yep,
the people that died, the people that were injured. And I hope and I pray that you can recover and that a lot of you guys are going to be okay. And I'm so sorry that this happened to your loved ones and your families. That I can do. I know that's the truth. We know this thing was real. We know this wasn't a staged event. We know this is right out in the open for us to see. But we don't know how it happened. When you have multiple reports of multiple shootings in other hotel lobbies at the same time that the media refuses to talk about.
Bellagio.
All of these things are going on.
Yeah, 2 miles away, the Bellagio.
Then nobody wants to talk about it.
Right.
Nobody, so we've got a situation here where we're basically being stuck in the dark. we're being, you know, they think we're mushrooms. We're being filed, given a pile of crap to eat. And we're being, you know, raised in the dark, and they all think we're a bunch of idiots. And see, let me get back to this thing real quick with the guys who are doing this. You got to ask yourself this. The guy who was running the hotel, the manager there, he had given to these, to George Soros organization. Plus he had sold the stock like 30 days early.
He,
that's right.
Terrorist he asked his employees to donate to CARE and that he would match donations 2 months ago.
And to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is all George Soros' stuff. So he was doing all of this stuff and just behaving unbelievably reckless to all of these causes. Now, he was supposed to be a, you know, Republican or a conservative, but somebody got to the boy and he started doing all this crazy nonsense. Plus he sold the stock, you know, a month ago or so and got rid of, you know, $10 million worth of shares.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of these questions need to be brought up. So we have a question here is this, and you know, Chernoff now is going to make a whole bunch of money. Another dual citizenship boy. He's going to make a whole bunch of money because he's going to start selling x-ray scanners and luggage scanners and all of this stuff into hotels now in Vegas. They're all saying they're going to be putting these in now. I hope they don't. And they're going to do this throughout the whole country. I know there are major theme parks here in Central Florida now. You have to walk through randomly. They select you to walk through metal detectors. And this is what they do now. That's why I won't go back to the theme parks. I'm not going to do that. I don't like doing it at TSA at the airport when I have to fly. I don't have to go to the theme park. So that's the problem that we're running into, is that we got to ask who benefits. Then we have to ask the next question. If they're trying to get rid of the Constitution, why are they trying to get rid of the Constitution? Well, we know they want to put in a one-world government. We also know that through HUD and through the Defense Department now, we've lost $21 trillion in undocumented expenses where they can't tell us where the money is gone. And we know with our Constitution, with our legal system, we can force these guys in court to return this money they've taken. They don't want to do that. So if they scrap the Constitution, they don't have to worry about returning the $21 trillion that they've sucked out of the United States. In addition to that, we realize that the entire military has been taken over now by the CIA. We know that. We got that figured out already. We saw that with Benghazi. We know that the Sabbateans, these Satan groups, they control the military. And then we also know the CIA and the echelons are satanic. We know that. So we know that we got this whole hierarchy. It's the same thing that I've told you guys so many times, and I do it on my show. We have given the right of our country away to our congressional leaders, which have been compromised through either pedophilia or through drugs, in order they can do whatever they want to do now, or that these groups who control them can make them vote however they want to vote. They turn around and give it to the military. The military has given it over to the CIA. The CIA has given it over to these satanic groups. The satanic groups are trying to link us into a 5G network, into a Alpha D-Wave computer to tie us interdimensionally into their god, their fallen serpent god they're trying to resurrect from the pit. And these guys are a bunch of wizards and warlocks and basically blood drinkers and child sacrifice people. We can't forget about all the stuff with the Podesta emails, with the soul cooking parties. We can't forget about all of the things that we've dealt and talked about with the child trafficking networks in the world. We can't forget about all of this stuff. It's all still there. And we've got to tie that back into this same bundle with these shootings in Vegas. And the only way we can do that is we have to go back to that whole thing again. Who's going to benefit? We have a country with hundreds of millions of guns, with a lot of people know how to use them, and they want to take those guns away from us, and they have to do that. Now, here's the problem. Unless we have a major false flag in the United States, like we have someone actually detonate a nuclear bomb, whether we're told it was a nuclear bomb or it was a fuel air bomb, we may not know the difference. We'll basically be told we've been under attack by North Korea, or they detonated EMP in part of the atmosphere, knock out part of the electrical grid. Which, who did that? We don't know if the Koreans did that, or we don't know if rogue elements of our government did that again. We have no idea. It's crazy what's happening in this world and how this thing is all twisted now. Well, then, if they do that, they can declare martial law. They can shred the Constitution. They can come in and seize everybody's guns, or they can spray biologicals on us and tell us that North Korea did that or one of the other countries did that. They're all in a full-blown panic mode right now because they're losing their petrodollar status because China and Russia are setting up other currency standards around the world. You know, Venezuela's already announced it. Russia's already said that by the first year they're not going to accept U.S. dollars in their ports any longer. I mean, all of this stuff is happening to these guys right now who run the world banks, the IMF, the International Banking Cartel, the Bank of International Settlements. All of these guys are like in panic mode because people don't want to be their slaves anymore. And that's what we've gotten ourselves into in the United States. We're completely and totally controlled by this international banking cartel, the Rothschilds, and of course the Rockefellers, who are cutouts, as far as I'm concerned, for the Rothschilds. And see, the Rothschilds don't want to use people. They don't want their name involved in all this because they're afraid they're going to be on trial for this. So they use people like George Soros, who I have read multiple reports that say that George Soros is dead. Now, whether he is or not, I don't know. Osama bin Laden sure was dead for a long time when they finally decided to shoot him. I mean, that's the craziest thing we've ever heard, but that's what's going on. We don't know George Soros is alive. The guy's like 90 years old. You don't know if he's alive or not alive. You never see him running around anymore, or could that be a body double? I don't know. All I know is this. They don't want people to reassociate what's going on with the Rothschild banking cartel. They don't want to do that. And why is that? Because they don't want to be held accountable for all the stuff they've stolen from the United States. If we nationalize the Federal Reserve System and we take back all the money they've stolen from us, including the $21 trillion, it'll pay off the national debt and we can really do something for the country and get it back on its feet again. They don't want this because they want a one world government under Lucifer. They want us to be tied into the to this internet of everything through the chips and through the nanoparticles they put into us, through the Morgellons that they put into us, and through the nanocrystals that we've been breathing from all the doggone junk we have in these chemtrails. They have done all of this stuff to us to bring us to this point. And now all of a sudden we're like, well, we don't want to do this. And Russia's going, well, I don't want to do it either. And China's going, well, you guys kind of are awful. We don't want to do this either. And now we're like, we don't like you guys anymore. We want you guys to go away. Well, they don't want to go away. And see, and that's the problem. That's what we always have to do. It's like I was talking to Dave Hodges about it today. We've got to draw the circle all the way back around. We have to say, who benefits? Why are they doing this? And what's the final outcome? What do they want it to be? I mean, the Pope this week put this big thing out about how he couldn't believe pedophilia so bad, and he starts talking about things that are being done to children. In the meantime, his head advisor is now being indicted for raping little boys. I mean, this is all so twisted. And so we've got to understand something, that we've got a problem. The CIA, the Vatican, organized crime, you know, the Mossad, and all these different subgroups that are involved with the international banking communities are all doing this stuff together in order, again, to bring this new world order into the United States. And a lot of it's being done through the higher levels of Masonic lodges, which most Masonic people don't know anything about this because they're lower level initiates. They don't understand what's going on with Masonic lodges and how evil the stuff is at the higher levels. So, I mean, Albert Pike talked about holding the seething energies of capturing the seething energies of Lucifer in his book, Morals and Dogma. And he's a Confederate war general who was pardoned by Johnson, who took over after Lincoln was shot. And then Johnson was impeached after he pardoned Pike. And now there's an actual statue to Pike in downtown Washington, D.C. The guy was a Satanist. He worshipped Lucifer, said he was, and openly acknowledged it. And here's a statue of him right there in downtown D.C. I mean, and this is the group of people that run the planet. They're all tied together and interlocked into this obfuscated mess. They give us little bits of information here and there just to try to throw everybody off the track, because they don't want us to put the pieces of the puzzle back together again, that these are the guys that are doing this. They're the same guys that do it all the time. They've been doing it for thousands of years. These are the Druids. These are the Satans. These are the ones that Jesus called out as the synagogue of Satan and said, your father is Lucifer. That's the same group of people that are doing this right now who are involved with this stuff, including the hierarchy of the Vatican, which is completely evil with all this pedophilia. And we already know that the organized crime is evil. And we already know the CIA is running drugs, human organs, that they're running and trafficking children, they're running and trafficking, you know, cash, and all this stuff through their thousand lily pad bases around the world through the United States with their C-130 transport planes, which are above the law because they're all flying into American Air Force bases or American naval bases or American bases all over the planet. We know this whole network is completely controlled by organized crime. They're that corrupt, and through the Vatican, who launders the money for these guys, who, in fact, they laundered so much money they couldn't keep laundering the money. They had to open up additional banks because they couldn't handle all the cash coming in. That's how big this is. If you watched that movie last week, again, with Tom Cruise, that one about Barry Seals, he had so much money coming in through running drugs down to South America in cash. He was having to bury the cash in the backyard. He was putting it in his closets, putting it in his warehouses, opened like four or five banks in Mena, Arkansas, did all of this stuff just to try to take care of all the cash that he had, Doug and Joe. And the end of it is, once they decided they didn't need him anymore, done. He's finished. They blew his head off. See, is that what happened with this guy in Vegas? Is that why he was having nightmares screaming at night? Because he was afraid this was going to happen to him. I don't know, guys. That's the problem. We don't know. This is all speculation on my part. I'm not making any
I don't know. Well, last night I heard screaming in my bedroom, and I woke up and I realized it was me. But you know, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And I shouldn't make light of it. But you're absolutely right on the entire on your entire presentation just now. You're exactly right. And again, what I really want people to do, you know, Ted, what I'm seeing across the board now, especially with respect to Las Vegas, there's a bunch of people coming in with absurd theories, okay? And even some heretofore well-respected people coming in with some absurd theories. Mm-hmm. And those people, I'm going to tell you, get away from me. Now, there are other people who are coming in attempting to discuss this intellectually. Those people are being, the damper's being put on those people, and I'm seeing this lack of desire for this to be discussed intellectually without this emotional knee-jerk reaction calling everyone kooks, you know?
That's right.
So, anyway, and it's good.
One other thing, Doug, the guy moved 27 times. who moves 27 times? I mean, I probably moved 5 or 6 times when I was in college because I was changing apartments, but I've had like 3 residences since then.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is what they kept doing with Tom Cruise in that movie with Barry Seal. They had to keep moving him to prevent law enforcement from finding him. I mean, is that why this guy's moved all over the country? I mean, I have no idea. And that's why I'm not putting any theories out there. I'm just saying, hey, look, let's put everything on the table.
Exactly.
Let's make a decision on what we want to talk about, and let's see if we can ever find out the truth. Because, well, like with 9/11, we don't know if it was nanothermite.
Right.
We don't know if it was mini nukes. We don't know if it was space-based weapon system, like Judy Wood said, that caused molecular disassociation and caused the whole towers to turn to powder. We don't know if it was that. We don't know if it's some type of microwave energy field they use. All we know is that cars were bursting into flames a mile away, but nobody ever wanted to talk about that.
Exactly.
I mean, we don't know what happened on 9/11. And we'll never know the truth about 9/11 until we get this corrupt government out and we start analyzing the research that was done that was being hidden from us, and we see the videotapes of it all. I mean, we don't know what happened on 9/11. That's exactly what they want. They want all of this stuff to be up in the air, and now that you're telling me the FBI has control of all the tapes like they did with 9/11 again, we'll probably never know what happened again, because look at the mess with the Warren report. Look at the mess with the 9/11 Commission report. Nobody ever wants anybody to know anything in the United States, because we figured out what they were doing and who they are and what they're involved with, which would take them and put them on trial for treason. Put a bunch of gals up on Capitol Hill. That's what they're afraid of. They don't want us to do that. That's why they want to disarm the population, because they want to make sure that we don't have the ability to call them to task for what they've done.
Exactly. And I do want to say this, just based on my investigation over the past week, your analogy to Barry Seal is perhaps one of the most accurate. Hmm? Okay, given what I know, that what I believe I know to be true, is that's the most accurate. So, thank you.
Well, I mean, because again, we don't know. And I'm not even saying it's an accurate analogy. All I'm saying is this. You know, the government in the United States has been hijacked. It started in 1913 with the hacking of taking over the Federal Reserve System in to put us in a debt. It really started in earnest in 1933 with Roosevelt, the communist, socialist, whatever that weirdo was,
yep.
Took over the doggone government and started the Exchange Stability Fund in 1934. And then we know what happened in 1947 with the doggone with Roswell and the CIA from the OSS and all the other things that happened with all the secret stuff. I mean, all of this mess has been going on now for decades and decades and decades, and they simply don't want us to know what's going on, Doug and Joe.
Now, you're precisely right. Mm-hmm. And so somebody had – I just saw a question flash across our monitor screen. You know, what I consider an insane theory. An insane theory in this case is that no one died there, no one was shot there, it was all just a big stage production. To me, that's an insane theory. Okay.
Too many people, too many witnesses on this one.
Right. Now, that aside, everything else to me is open for discussion.
Well, I see why people say that, because I don't know how many of you guys saw the videos out there of after the shooting stopped, the lights got turned off, and somebody asked an officer to turn the lights back on, and the officer said everybody who's in there is dead.
Yeah, but Joe, I talked to people who had their hands in the guts of the people.
This is why people are saying that.
Yeah, I get it.
Because it's the unconventional response. Even I got an email today that says a venue of that size and an event of that size should always have EMTs on standby.
Well, they did.
Right, but nobody was going to go into there.
People know that?
Because the shooter was not secured, so I understand the argument from both sides. But that's
well, and
why
plus
people
the venue, the venue was fenced in. I mean, the people, all the exits were blocked. They couldn't get out. There were tens of thousands of people, and they couldn't get out.
Oh, there were some cartoonish exits made, by the way, there. Yeah. I've got to tell you.
Yeah. I believe that. But anyway. I mean, the whole thing about it is it's an active shooter scenario. We know that's happening. And you know, now what's going to happen? Are they going to do another one at a major football game? Are they going to do it in a Super Bowl situation? Are they going to do something like this again? I mean, we have to understand that they're not going to stop doing mass shootings until they get their snowflake generation in power who are willing to take away the guns, or they're going to have to do a false flag like with a nuclear attack and come in with martial law and take away the weapons. That's the only two scenarios they've got here. And as far as me, I'm 62 years old next month. I'm never going to vote for this. I'm never going to allow my congressman to, well, I can't stop what they do, but I'm going to tell them not to. because I'm not going to be involved in a situation where I'm going to be saying, hey, look, guys, you know, this is okay. Let's lose our constitutional Second Amendment rights. I'm not going to do that. Because to me, if the people, the problem with this whole scenario, even if we've been armed, you don't have any effective range there with a handgun. I mean, you're looking at 500-600 yards away, you know, by the end of the platform there. So, you know, three to 600 yards. You can't go in there and shoot back with a handgun. There's no, it doesn't have an effective range. So you'd literally have to be coming in, you know, with a AR-10, you know, with a 308, shoot back that fast, high, and then you'd have so much muzzle drop as you're shooting up, it'd be very difficult to range it in, and especially without shooting through other windows in the hotel. It wouldn't be safe to return fire since you don't know where the fire's coming from. Plus, again, you didn't see any flashes coming out of the guy's room. So where in the world are you going to shoot the fourth floor where you see the flashes coming out of, or the drone that's flying overhead? What in the world was it doing up there, if there was one? I don't know that. I mean, it sure seems weird to me that all of this stuff is happening again and again and again and again with different administrations. Because remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago when I was on with you guys. You know, Kelly has pretty much sequestered Donald Trump. He doesn't want him to see people. In fact, some people say that Kelly may be on his way out now because of this.
And you called that. You called that first. Yep. On your program, and on, folks, on Ted and Austin's program, you gotta tune in to their program on Global Star, every day, 3 to 4, every day. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Austin called it on Monday about the Hearing Protection Act that would be shelved, which of course Ryan did. And now we have legislation coming against all things like that'll increase the rapid fire. Does that mean that we can't use 3-pound triggers on our guns anymore for accuracy? What's happening here now is that we have a situation where this thing, whole thing could escalate, and we can't allow that to happen. Now, I'm hoping that Trump stays strong enough, at least on this, that he vetoes any legislation that comes across his desk on this kind of stuff, because we don't need more gun legislation. Last time I checked, Doug, it was already illegal to murder people. I thought that was something we already knew that we had already. You know,
yeah,
so I mean, so why do we
enough,
need more? Yeah,
but,
it's ridiculous. I mean,
we're right up against the break, Ted.
Not to murder people.
We're right up against the break, folks. You're listening to Dr. Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. And there is no coupon or promo code for tonight, but anybody who orders $50 or more gets a free book. And, folks, we'll talk more about it on the other side.
That's the best thing to do. Get order. In fact, right now, stop what you're doing. Order your multivitamins right now from Health Masters. Sorry, Joe.
I'll be right
away.
Back.
I have to learn etiquette again. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can. For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.